Hello, this is Patrick from The Fundamental Principle. Jerome, how you been, buddy?
I've been good, man. Hey, boom, boom, pop 'em, I guess? I don't know what to think just yet. It's only been like a week and a half, so we'll give him some time. But
man, I was going to open with a joke, like, hey, is the Pope Catholic? And you stole my thunder.
Like, maybe? Like, definitely maybe? I think... it's been interesting, right? Because guys that I would have respected 3-4 years ago, and this is not to throw shade necessarily, but like Nick Cavazos from Traditional Thomist, or Taylor Marshall, like instantly, like, I submit myself fully to this, to Leo the 14th, and he's the Pope, and I'll just do whatever he says. Like, you don't know what he's going to do yet, man. He might come out and say that, like, Christian charity requires that, like, every white country be flooded with immigrants, you know, like, or, you know, the death penalty stuff he repeated. He might, like, come out with an encyclical saying that, like, punishment of crime is evil, or, I mean, there's some good signs, right? But you don't know yet. And I think that anybody, especially any trad that just, like, just instantly is like, oh, this guy is the best. Yeah. You know, like, you have no clue. It's been a week, and there's been some good signs, but
yeah, we need to go more off. Like, he's got Latin in his Twitter bio. I guess that means he's like the next Leo the 13th.
Right.
That was something that kind of frustrated me too. I don't know where this naivete comes from Catholics. It's like I can't imagine that our forefathers were as naive as we are.
It's just so, like, in love with authority that like your forefathers in faith, like, literally locked the cardinals in a building and started pissing on them. Like, give us a pope, or, you know, like, I was just listening to Catholic Family News talk about, like, some of the stuff that had happened in previous conclaves. You know, like, we're not going to feed you. We're going to lock you in a building and not feed you until you give us a pope. Right? Like, and you know, this is all stuff that I could be misremembering and everything. But, like, just like, you know, people will criticize Pope Pius XII for being, quote-unquote, Hitler's pope, which... I mean, the book about him by that title is slanderous and evil. But, like, it would have been way cooler if he was, right? But the notion that, like, the CIA didn't have anything to do with, like, every papal election since 1947, especially since the council. Why do you think this guy was chosen? Right? He was chosen because he's an American, and they need normie American Novus Ordo conservatives to open the checkbook back up and start donating again.
Do you think we're going to see Chicago gang members donating to the Catholic Church? Is this a big turnaround for Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, of course not, right? Like, right, this is
they know who pays their bills.
Yeah, they know who pays their bills, and they know that they're, you know, both Pell and Vigano were, like, basically told to fix the money situation and then got hustled off. And, you know, pretty good evidence that Pell was murdered. I mean, just, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic because of his statement to the Eastern Churches where he said, you know, things like, hey, you need to stay in your homes. Like, you can't be forced out, which is good. And secondly, that, like, you know, your liturgy needs to be preserved in the sense of wonder and all that other stuff. Like, and he at least pronounces Latin correctly. Those are all good things. You know, Leo the 13th was a good and holy pope who said a lot of important stuff. And particularly, right, as the, you know, fourth industrial revolution, AI revolution, whatever you want to call it, becomes a thing. It'd be important to have a pope who understands that and says, like, hey, you know, semi-literate Mexican person, like, there's not going to be a job for you in a first world country. You're going to be replaced by a robot and by AI.
Yeah. I do think we're going to have a Twitter Pope. Like, this is, he's all over Twitter every day, all the time. Which is better than Francis being, you know, having media gaffes. I think that's a big thing they're trying to get away from. Is just the silly things get said to the press. I think this Vatican understands, or these cardinals finally understand, that the media is not our friend, and it never has and never will be. So that's right. Good, I mean, you know, trending in the right direction.
Yeah, that is. I mean, for sure. And I was on a recent episode of Third Rail, and I, you know, someone asked me, like, what would your top four priorities be? And I'd be like, well, I think I said, bring back the old mass was number one. Number two was, like, clear up all the doctrinal stuff with Bergoglio. Number three was realistically address the, or number four was, like, address the migration issue and then, you know, just fix some of the doctrinal stuff, like the death penalty. I can't remember exactly what order I put things in, but, you know, like, I think that people need to be very skeptical. Right? Because, you know, John Paul II said a lot of, like, really ridiculous stuff. And he was the, you know, Pope St. John Paul the Great, right? Like, no, he was terrible. And, like, Assisi, kissing the Quran, the, you know, gobbledygook pastoral letters that, like, said, in a certain sense, Jesus Christ, that's universalism, man. Like, what's the point of baptism, then, if, like, Christ died for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the...
And which is not to say that I have pronunciations on, like, being, you know, the 1958 Cervicantes are right and no one else is correct. I don't know. But skepticism, at least.
Well, I don't see Leo rolling back that, like, hey, the Bantu pagan religion is equivalent to Catholicism that, like, John Paul set forth. There's a lot of indifferentism that he set in place that I can't see him rolling back. I think there's still too many boomers that like John Paul. There's still, like, too much of this John Paul cult still around for anyone to really push back on any of his ideas, as terrible as they are or were. So I think we'll probably have the consequences of those for another Pope or two. I'm not seeing much difference in that front. But I, you know, a big fear of mine is them doing what they can to get US aid back and just mm-hmm. That's import all these third worlds again. So I don't know. That's a concern. I think that's kind of to deracinate. I mean, I agree with you that I think they picked an American just to deracinate trads and to bring them more back in the fold. I'm hoping they throw, you know, just for the regular average Catholic that goes to mass and doesn't involve himself with politics or global affairs, I hope they get Latin mass back. Like, why would I not? I am really afraid that it's just a ploy, that just some of the worst people are going to get promoted, and it's going to be, they're going to continue. I mean, obviously, he wants to continue synodality. And then just have more bishops in control than ever before. I don't know if it's going to be a great thing, but, like, with the U.S. bishops that we have now, I can't imagine that being a good thing at all.
No, I mean, and that's something else that people need to remember is, like, more than likely, your local bishop is lighting the loafers and a heretic. Right? Like, that's just...
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm sure there's definitely some good bishops out there. As our friend in our pay chat, who donated from the Gumroad to get it into our founders program, mentioned talking about how good his bishop is. So, you know, yeah, there's definitely good ones out there. I don't think, like, the new bishop in Chicago, was it Detroit or Cincinnati, are going to be great. I think week one, the new Bishop of Detroit, I can't think of his name at the top of my head, banned Latin Mass fully, and then we can get to see what happens out of Cincinnati with their new Archbishop. But he was out of Chicago, so I can't imagine anything great.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's probably not that good, right? And it's not even just, how would I describe this, right? Like, the one place in the church where there was organic growth and, like, people were having families and kids and like, it's not just enough to believe what the church teaches, right? That's a necessity. But you also have to pass that faith on. You have to teach what the church believes. For the vast majority of Novus Ordo Catholics, like, they might do the former, they don't do the latter. So the only places you were seeing the faith passed on intergenerationally was in the Latin Mass communities and maybe the Easter churches and you know, like, occasionally, like, in, you know, like, the better religious order types in the Novus Ordo, right? Where are the Catholic families of six, seven, eight kids, right? That used to be normative. They're not in your average suburban, you know, parish. People don't, you know, like, people are not, you know, out of charity, I can't say, oh, everyone in this church is contracepting because they all have two kids. Like, they might be making heroic efforts at natural family planning and just, you know, for whatever reason, can't afford to have normal Catholic, you know, Catholic families anymore. Who knows? Like, things are bad. And, you know, they might have, every single one of them might be, like, seeking spiritual direction with their priest and you know, spiritually discerning, like, seriously, we can't afford more kids, right? That might be happening. Do you really think so?
That I think a lot more people kind of fell in love with their jobs, and it's just that was far more important than anything else. Like, it's still, like, there's still this love for the world. Like, we're far from the idea of, like, in the world, not of the world. And I can't imagine, until we have an authority that says, like, hey, until, like, that denounces materialism, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. You know, what our big lesson from we gained from Queen Isabella is that, you know, law set morality. I not seeing anything big changes from this new pope or anything really. We'll see. You know what I mean? I'm hopeful. I'm hesitant, but it's. You know, I'm not. I can't see anything groundbreaking. Like, they're still liberals at the end of the day.
Yes, right, and that's the problem. Is that ultimately, like, liberalism, large L liberalism, is fundamentally, like, it's a rebellion against Catholicism.
Absolutely. You know, I was watching. Theo Howard and what was it?
Yeah, great program. Two Cities and.
Yeah. And they were talking about the history of Freemasonry. And it's like the Freemasons are the religious, the priesthood of liberalism, of the Jewish world order. So it's, you know, are we going to see any action against Freemasons anytime soon? Probably not. Are we going to see any, like, big changes against, you know, pushing back on, not necessarily Zionism, but global Jewry. Probably not. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I can't see anything that would really, you know, make a big difference long term.
Yeah, I doubt it very much. And, you know, we'll see. Again, like, it's been a week, and all of these people who should know better, right? Like, Taylor, bro. You wrote Infiltration. Do you think that the Freemasons, the Humos, aren't in charge in Rome anymore? Like, they all just decided to leave? Why was Supich, like, smiling? Right? Like, and I've known, right, I've never met His Eminence Blaise Cardinal Supich. I have experience dealt with him because when I was in college, I was in the pro-life club one of his previous posts, and he treated us terribly. So, like, he's a bad person, right? Like Blaze Supich is a bad person. And here he is, right, like, smiling on the Logia when, you know, Leo comes out. He's a bad person. Like, Blaze Supich is a bad man.
Yeah, and his physiognomy definitely displays that. Unfortunately, I think another big warning flare was to see if I was looking up if James Martin really said anything about Leo, and he hasn't. So I guess we can.
I've heard from people that ran into both him and Austin Ivory in Rome that they were both pretty happy with Leo, which is, you know, I mean, by your friends you shall know them, right? So that's a bad sign. But again, like, if he named himself Leo in honor of Leo the 13th, and he understands what time it is with the with, you know, this industrial revolution coming forward, and he does something about all the doctrinal confusion, like, and brings back the old mass, you know, that's, you know, all your heroes that you, whatever history that, you know, Catholic heroes in the past, doesn't matter who they are, they went to that mass, to the old mass. Like, that's the mass that, you know, Mussolini went to. That's the last mass that, you know, Adolf Hitler was baptized into. That's the mass that Joan of Arc and Charlemagne and Edward the Black Prince and
you know, went to every day.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's the mass that formed Europe. And you know, you can't, the mass forms you the more you go, right? And it's only after years and years and years of going to the, you know, the old mass that I fully understood, like, I'm not sure I do now, but, like, I was understanding just how bad, like, the Novus Ordo mass is. You know, like, I wasn't prepared to, like, read by, you know, Work of Human Hands by Father Cicada and understand just, like, what that meant until I'd gone to the old mass for years. Right? And could viscerally, like, oh!
Yeah, it definitely is a life-changing experience. I was definitely taken aback my first time going. But you're right, it is. I hope he does bring it back and he kind of strengthens ties with the SSPX and they can kind of keep their ground with their orthodoxy, lowercase o orthodoxy. Obviously, I want more Latin Mass. That's never going to be a bad thing.
No.
I'm not sure what else I have to say on this. But I do. We can kind of wrap it up. I told a friend, same a full house, that we prayed for him. He lost a loved one recently, at a very young age. So if you guys can get a chance, say a prayer for Sam. Him and his family, I know they're in distress right now.
Let's do an Ave for them right now, and then, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. You know, one thing I will caution people with is, like, And we'll close that on His Holiness, His putative Holiness. We'll see. With this, don't act like doing the job of being Pope, right? And all of a sudden he's the best Pope ever, right? Because Francis was so bad at the day-to-day work of actually being a Holy Father. Like, wow, this dad provides me shelter and three bowls of oatmeal a day and doesn't beat me. He's the best dad ever. Like, no. Right? Like,
yeah, just, right? Do your job is the bare minimum.
Right, yeah. So like, he didn't, like, make me move out into the shed and only feed me one meal of gruel a day and beat me regularly. Like, Because that's what Francis did with everyone who actually believes in the you know, what the church teaches. Like, tells people who have Catholic families, despite the great personal sacrifice, like, you're breeding like rabbits. Like, what? You know what, Holy Father, what? Right? Like, and I made it pretty clear. I don't think that Francis was a legitimate pope, but that's just my personal opinion based off UDG. But, you know, don't make it sound like Leo's going to be the best pope in the history of the world just because he's not like an abusive jerk.
Yeah, I mean, this would be my last. But, like, if we could turn around the amount of Catholics in America that believe in the Trinity from 9% to anything that's not that, or anything above that.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, man, it's.
Oh, my gosh.
9% of Catholics are Trinitarians in America.
9%?
According to that one study we were talking about the other week. I can pull it back up.
That's even like 9% are even Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this, like, what? Oh my gosh. That is. That's the sort of thing that bishops should be like worried about and should be getting fired over, is like 5% of your diocese actually understands the creed. You're going to have all of your priests teach on the basics of the creed every Sunday and tell people, like, if you do not believe this in this sense.
Yeah, no, we definitely
do not receive communion. Do not, you know, like, you need to go and you need to read like the third grade catechism from like 1952 before. Right. Because you don't have an 8-year-old's level of understanding of Catholicism.
In the real sense of the word, we need another Inquisition. You know, the Spanish, the Spanish Inquisition was more focused on understanding doctrine than it was about anything else.
Because there had been hundreds of years of Islamic oppression and cultural pollution, and so people just didn't like.
They didn't know.
Yeah, there's a lot they didn't know, and they, right, so.
That would, you know, I seeing a pontiff, like, if next day, you know, the day we release this, if Pope Leo comes out and we're going to start a new Inquisition to focus on making sure everyone's doctrinal sound, like, then, all right, cool, he's the best pope in the last 100 years. I don't think that's going to happen. That's unlikely.
Right.
Which is unfortunate. You know, a lot of people, like, I don't know how far divine ignorance goes. And I don't want to test that boundary at all. But yeah, no, a lot of bishops and cardinals need to be fired for the lack of orthodox teaching going on right now in America.
Or everywhere. Like, I'm not saying that America is great, but like, if it's this bad here, can you imagine how bad it is in, say, like, Germany?
Yeah.
Or England? Like, yeah, it's going to be bad, man. It's going to be really, really bad.
All right. I think that wraps up. So we're starting a new program on the Substack. Please check that out. It'll be released Friday. Thank you, guys. God bless.